Thank you, Renee. Okay, yeah. So we will officially call this meeting to order. So if we can take a roll call, please.
Jaime Tadeo. Annabelle Nunez.
Present.
Kate Calhoun.
Present.
Tracy Hockett.
Present.
And Martha Miller.
Present.
Thank you. And with that, we have quorum, Madam Chair.
Okay, terrific. So, report from the chairperson. So that is me. So I am in a learning curve right now. So I apologize for the last minute of getting the notification. Mitch and I had a lovely conversation with the city clerk's office today. So we will be sure to get information out to you in a more timely fashion. I did speak with Linda from OPS. She's hoping to get you all the cases next week so that you can start reviewing the cases next week for our April meeting. And the clerk's office is going to put chips on all of our calendars so we know when these meetings will occur. So I think we cleaned up some housekeeping issues. So that was totally my fault, so I apologize for the tardiness. And moving forward, we will be able to make sure that this is a well-oiled machine. So, and as you can see, we've got a few people that are out on vacation. So I'm glad you all were able to make it today. So we've got a call to the audience.
So we actually, for item two, approval
of the... Oh, excuse me.
You're fine.
Okay, yes, item two, we need a motion to approve the legal action report and the meeting minutes, please.
So moved.
So second.
Seconded.
Okay. All those in favor? Aye. Okay. That's approved. Now officially call to the audience. Bueller? Anyone? Nope.
We have no requests.
Okay. Thank you. All right. So let's go into item number five, the review of the TPD investigations. And we can start with case number 22-0016. And in summary,
we'll go ahead and have you recite this first paragraph, Kate, underneath it here, just where it's on the record.
Okay, so I need to do that for all the.
Just for item five.
Okay, so in accordance with section 10A-88F. Of the mayor council mandate, the board may only review these charges specified in the investigation in order to comment on the fairness and thoroughness of the internal investigation and to report any concern regarding that investigation to those specified in the mandate.
Perfect.
Okay. So, this issue occurred, am I looking at the correct one? Yes, this issue occurred on September 11th on the east side. And in summary, there were 16 body-worn camera videos. They were very chaotic, if you were able to see those videos and see everything taking place. There were allegations of use of force, indicating that a sergeant had pushed somebody to get them out of the way so that they could actually conduct their investigation. Looks like there were no disciplinary actions that took place and no violations that were actually made, and it was closed immediately. Any comments?
I think there was one. Is it this one? Am I getting this one wrong? This one was the incident where... Oh, no. Never mind. Pardon me, Chair. I got my numbers crossed.
No worries. No worries.
So, did anybody see the dog actually biting anybody?
Okay, it's a smart case.
Because I looked through all the video, but I didn't ever see. I know they said one of the officers said it sounded like the dog was biting somebody, and I was wondering, okay, well, what does that really sound like? But I looked in all the videos. I saw the dog was a little bit aggressive, and they put him in the back seat. but I never saw the dog biting anybody. So do we know if the dog actually bit anybody?
Yeah, that was, so the dog bite was investigated under that other OPS number that was given, 21-0385, and the dog did bite somebody in that incident.
This one, the claimant was indicating that he was pushed by a sergeant.
Okay.
Whereas the sergeant's viewpoint,
I saw that one too.
Yeah, the sergeant's viewpoint was that he was trying to get around the sergeant, and apparently the push was referred to as an impact push, which I think is used by the police department when they're in that situation. If that, am I correct?
And you're saying I got two different cases mixed up?
No, it's not mixed up.
It's part of that one.
So Sergeant Anderson was showing up at the call, and there was a dog bite that occurred. That dog bite was investigated under a separate OPS number.
Gotcha.
And then this specific complaint was just
the push.
The impact push that Sergeant Anderson.
Okay.
There was a lot going on. Yeah, it was hard to sort of track, you know, with all the video cameras, but, you know, I could really appreciate kind of getting in there. Some weren't really long, but some weren't all that long. I have to say that I was very impressed with the de-escalation that Officer Frias did to get that young man under sort of a calm place to where he could actually continue to manage the investigation. And I also think that it was Sergeant
Anderson
as well, in sort of dealing with a number of people who were really sort of, you know, heightened energy going on and trying to get people at least some information and answered. So I don't know. I thought this was one of the better cases that I've seen in the time that I've been on this board, where it was, I felt a sense of cohesion amongst the department and the police officers in a way that there was a sense of coordinated communication and, you know, kind of feel for the young man. He had a story, but I thought he did a really good job of de-escalating the situation, at least with on site. There was a lot of time spent sort of managing that case, I think, all the way through when he was being held or detained, and it sounds like he did go to jail, right?
There's another investigation, I think, that was taking place.
Mm-hmm.
Colin's
up.
I got nothing to add. I thought it was thorough and justified. Or I did not find any issues with what I read. So it all seemed to go according to TPD procedures and whatnot.
Yeah. I would like to at least say to TPD in the room, if you can take this back to your leadership, just watching all of these videos, things really could have gone south very quickly, and the professionalism that I saw with almost every single officer on scene, given the nature of the community and the frustrated parents, you all were very professional, and I think that showcases TPD at its finest. So thank you.
Did two people claim to be the mother? Did anybody pick up on that? Okay. So I wasn't quite clear who was actually the mother in the instance. I do have a question for TPD or OPS. In the report that was sent and the letter that was sent to the complainant, it was drafted that said that the case was closed. And I'm quoting here, towards the end and close of the letter, as discussed prior, should the individual or the legal representative of the individual, because I know that they... investigation was sort of on pause to give them time to get information back. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was great, right? So they were really willing to give them the opportunity to come forward with the additional information so that the complaint could be thoroughly investigated. I was wondering, in this case, again, as discussed prior, should the individual or a representative of the individual contact this office, we can address any complaints involving him in future detail. And I was just wondering if when you open that letter and say the case is closed, to me, in my mind, it's closed and done with, we move on, but would you actually go back and sort of permit that individual to, because they didn't meet the timeline. Is this a good faith effort, and is this sort of a practice of the department? And do you feel that that's, you know, consistent across the board? Just curious.
Yes, so in this specific instance, Mr. Littleton was trying to make a complaint on behalf of Mr. Jabari, which we typically don't accept third-party complaints unless they are very egregious or criminal in nature. In this case, Mr. Jabari was incarcerated, so they tried to reach out to him to see if he wanted to make a complaint, and that's why it also says his legal representative. If you know he has a power of attorney while he's incarcerated or an actual attorney, then they can reach out to us too. So we typically do that, especially in cases where at the time that the complaint might first come forward to us, where there is still pending litigation, we offer to the members to take the fact they wanted to make a complaint, but then pause the investigation, because anything that they tell us in the course of making their complaint is available to be used against them in court.
Oh.
So we tell them, hey, we'll document that you attempted to make your complaint. That'll pause the 180-day timeline that you have. Let your case go through litigation, and then come back, and then you can make your complaints, and we're not going to hold you to the 180-day timeline. Sometimes people will say, no, I want to make my complaint now, and that's fine, that whatever I tell you could be used against me, and then some people will exercise that ability.
Got it, okay. I think it shows good faith effort to at least give them the opportunity to be heard again. Yay.
So may I hear a motion to approve the fair and thoroughness of this investigation?
I so move.
Thank
that
you, Tracy.
That case 220116 be found fair and thorough.
Thank you.
Second.
Thank you, Martha. Do I have to read this again?
No, just
okay.
The one.
Okay, just the one time. Okay.
Call for vote.
Call for vote. Thank you.
Jaime Tadeo. Annabelle Nunez?
Agree, yes.
Kate Calhoun?
Approved.
Tracy Hockett?
Aye.
Martha Lund?
Aye.
Okay, passes unanimously. Okay, let's take a look at case number 22-10187. Looks like this event occurred on May 28th, 2022, and this involved the East Side Substation, there was a complaint, domestic violence call that occurred, and as a result, there was an individual that complained about an officer who did not follow up properly to locate a firearm.
So I reiterate what Kate said about the Tucson Police Department, because I think it was in Officer Schmidt's, one of his video, where this woman is just giving him the blues and talking to him like he's not a person. And he stayed very, very professional with her. And I thought to myself, I don't know how you guys do it every day, because that can definitely affect one's mental state to have to be addressed the way this woman was behaving. But I commend you guys for what you do every day. I don't know how you do it. And this case proved very much of what you deal with probably on a daily basis. You know, so I commend you as well. It looks like most of the cases we had this time showed the professionalism of the police department and what you guys deal with on a daily basis. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
Isn't it funny how like all three cases went, wow, this is great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I gave the presentation on April a few months ago, whenever, November, I think it was, right? So we're going through our ABLE refresher training starting in July. So we'll be starting our ABLE refresher training in July. And just to kind of speak to what you're talking about, one thing that I'm going to probably try to extend the challenge out to our personnel, at least the classes that I teach anyway, is going to be to what you're speaking of. The way I take that is if I let somebody hijack my emotions, I lost that battle. So trying to extend that to those other department members that I teach those classes to, you know, to stay poised and to stay, you know, stoic in a way, it reflects on your character by not allowing someone to hijack your emotions. You're rising above and meeting that level of professionalism that we should be putting forward every day.
Well, he did it.
Yeah.
He really did it.
Yeah.
And that's something that takes years to perfect.
It takes a while.
For sure.
Yeah. And the gentleman that you mentioned in the previous case, Frias, came to us with a fair amount of life experience already.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's where you kind of see, when there was a newer officer, he had a fair amount of life experience to begin with. And I'm not going to say it's always the younger ones, but sometimes it is, you know, it does take a level of maturity and a level of experience of having had those experiences of being yelled at. You're like, they're not mad at me, they're just upset at my uniform.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not, they're mm-hmm. mad at who, what I represent in that moment. They're not upset with me. I gotta take it that way.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a while to get good at that.
Yeah, it does.
I think this one was very straightforward, and I think the fact that the crisis team was on site
mm-hmm.
To sort of support 2PD while they were investigating, I mean, it just seemed so seamless, you know? There
mm-hmm.
was a ensemble work there. That's not the language there. So, again, commend that case, and it was very straightforward.
I have a general question that just came to mind. Is the rate of complaints, has there been an uptick in complaints for various reasons? Because it seems like there's folks out there who take offense if things don't go their way specifically, and they are not shy about raising a fuss about it. So has there been like an uptick in TPD people filing complaints to start this process?
I can't answer that question off the top of my head because I've only been in the office since July, but what I can do is I can run some stats and figure out how many complaints we have per year over the last several years and then answer that question at the next meeting.
Okay, if I remember. Awesome.
That'd be great.
I took a note, so I'll remember to have it for the
okay.
OPS update.
Well, you know, it'd be interesting to kind of see. I mean, not to give you any level of work, right? But, it's the young man clearly had some language that was some key talking points that you would hear. Like, I can't breathe. The knee was, like, it seemed fairly
mm-hmm.
familiar to sort of the climate that we had been living with in the last three years, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I can see that it's on the radar. And again, that's why I think the fact that Officer Frias went in there and was giving the person the space and time to just vent, you know, and sort of even acknowledge that was good. So, I mean, kind of, it'd just be curious, but don't go, you know, stat crunching or anything like that. But it'd just be kind of interesting to see sort of the complaints that actually came in. But I'm riffing here. Never mind.
Thank you. So can I get a motion to approve the fairness and thoroughness of investigation number 22-0187?
I'll move.
Thank you, Martha.
I'll second.
Thanks, Tracy. Roll call.
Jaime Tadeo.
Absent.
Annabelle Nunez.
Aye.
Kate Calhoun.
Aye.
Tracy Hockett.
Aye.
And Martha Lund.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, our final case today is case number 22-0019. And this event occurred on January 18, 2022, and this occurred in Midtown. And it appears as if there were use of force allegations, and then there were also general orders, policies, and procedures. There was a blue sustained track with regards to the complaint with Officer Martinez with relations to the handcuffs that were too tight. There were several officers that were actually on scene. Four involved, four unfounded. And I'll just open it up.
Poor Mr. Anderson. I'm a tough one. Again, a lot of time spent trying to gather the information. Those neighbors have a tough neighbor to sort of live with, because they've been neighbors for 5 years, and it's kind of an ongoing thing. I think the only thing that I would, my observation would be is sort of, and I don't know if that's how they're trained to sort of have the conversation with the individual, in this case, Mr. Anderson, where he was, you know, trying to convince him that he would probably be better off going to the behavioral health, right? And so they had called behavioral health to come and assess, and he says, well, you might have some mental issues. And I was kind of concerned about sort of like the diagnosis of somebody else. And so I'm wondering if there's any kind of conversations in the department in terms of like how to better say something like, you know, we're going to have somebody come and take you somewhere where you can talk to somebody to help you, rather than just sort of saying you might be. That could be a trigger for some people, and so that's the only concern I have. So I was just curious as to if that's something y'all would have talked to that officer about.
Members of the board, my name is Anthony Archibald. I'm a lieutenant with the Tucson Police Department. I was assigned to Midtown at the time this investigation happened. Officer Martinez was actually in my chain of command at the time of the incident. I can answer your question, Madam Board Member. Ultimately, the employees of the Tucson Police Department are given a tremendous amount of crisis intervention training. They go through a lot of mental health first aid type information. It's kind of this double-edged sword when we get into the semantics of how you address someone. In some circumstances, it would most certainly be in our best interest to avoid terms like mental health crisis or we feel like you're having a mental issue because of, like you're saying, the generalization, the fact that it could trigger folks. In some circumstances, it's actually a little bit better to be on point, and I'll give the for instance in that is when we're talking to people specifically about like medications that they take. For instance, is clozapine, a well-known schizophrenic treating medication that folks take. When we can be direct with someone about what it is that they're taking based on training and experience, that helps to provide a little bit of insight into the conversation. It lets that person know that we care enough to understand what they're going through a little bit. And Officer Martinez in this situation is ultimately trying to get somebody that has more advanced training and better resources to deal with the mental health crisis that I think that we all know that we could all see clearly was happening in this particular circumstance. So your point is well taken.
Yeah, yeah.
There's definitely a time where words matter, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want to trigger folks. But yeah, there is some training, and you guys have read, Officer Martinez did receive some corrective action in this case. That was done in the form of restorative supervision. Ultimately, what that means is his supervisor was able to sit him down and walk him through this incident from start to finish, and that was conducted by Sergeant Schneider. Sergeant Schneider, while at the time was one of our newer supervisors, is actually a really, really good new supervisor. I know I'm biased because I was his supervisor for a while, but I was constantly impressed by Sergeant Schneider's ability to take his employees to the side and really coach them up. Because, as you guys have seen, we do make mistakes as officers, as supervisors, we make mistakes. And the key is to learn from those as quickly as possible so that they don't become bigger mistakes in the future. And so I can assure you that Officer Martinez learned from this incident. He learned about double-locking his handcuffs, obviously. And I'm certain that Sergeant Schneider also walked him through the process of some of the things that he could have done better, maybe to even prevent having to put Mr. Anderson in handcuffs at all.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Lieutenant, are you able to explain why there was TFD and then ultimately AMR came in?
Yes, ma'am.
Was a while. That took some time.
Yeah, so TFD only does medical transports when there's a medical necessity for immediate response to the hospital. They don't want to tie up their ambulances for somebody that needs just a standard transport to the, and there's no life-threatening medical emergency that needs to get them to the hospital. And so in this situation, that means that we'd be waiting for AMR to come in and do the non-medically necessary transport to the hospital.
Okay. And that would occur if it's car accident, for example?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. And a lot of the times, TFD can get to the scene and stabilize folks to the point where we'll call in AMR for more significant injuries. It's just that immediacy of getting them to the hospital. TFD needs to have their ambulance available if, for instance, if you can imagine a gun crime happens in the city of Tucson and we need to transport somebody to a hospital via TFD.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Madam Chair, to clarify, the sustained allegation of failing to double lock, there's no direct relationship between that and any excessive force. There's no evidence to suggest that any of the pain he was claiming to feel was as a result of the handcuffs becoming too tight because they were not double locked. Matter of fact, there's significant evidence to show that even after he complained about that, you could still see there was enough of a gap as to not to cause a problem. But my question would be, if in fact the handcuffs were not double locked and he sat on them, and that in fact did cause him pain, obvious pain, and he had to squeeze really hard to release, would there then have been a sustained allegation for the use of force handcuff?
Mr. Auditor, yes, I believe that if the circumstance had dictated that those cuffs had become too tight and started to remove circulation, I believe that we would have come to a conclusion that that would have been a sustained use of force. That would have been against a handcuffing policy as well, and another general rule against that.
I kind of struggled with that because I wasn't, first of all, not knowing exactly what the blocked meant. Does that mean that it clicks down two times or something? Or can you explain a little bit of what?
I'm actually happy to show exactly. I won't put them on you. So handcuffs, when they go on, typically you click them on and they can move. That is movement so that you can get it around the wrist to a point where it's comfortable, mm-hmm. as comfortable as handcuffs are designed to be on somebody's wrists. What we are trained to do once we have those on the handcuffs is to put fingers between the skin and the metal of the handcuff to ensure that there is room for give in there. If there's not, we can back that out. And then I remember where I keep my keys nowadays. So once that's on somebody's wrist, we actually have the ability to prevent this from going in further. And that is what we're referring to when we call double lock.
Oh, okay.
So now that is locked in, and I can't do anything to push that in relation to
any kind of movement.
So each one of those is independently controlled, and you're able to, I'll make sure I showed everybody, but so you're unable to push that like you're able to push that side when this one's double locked.
So if you are sitting on it, it won't become tighter?
Correct. The idea of double locking is once we've established it in the position, it gives us enough to ensure that the subject has room to have their arms breathe through the handcuff, that they will be in that position.
So I'm lost track here. So he was not double locked and then they double locked it, right?
Yeah.
And so he should have double locked from the get?
Yeah, so our policy states that when an officer places handcuffs on, unless there's extenuating circumstances where we have to immediately move someone out of the area, or it's a physical encounter, what have you, once those handcuffs are on, we are supposed to check and make sure that there's room for the arms to have enough movement so that they're not going to lose circulation, and then we should double lock in that moment. Officer Martinez in this situation, he waited to double lock. He actually sat the individual down on the ground, and there was a prolonged period of time before the handcuffs were double locked on that individual. And that, in our opinion, was just too long for that person to wait, because as Mr. Auditor pointed out, in that time, while the person's on the ground, the handcuffs can, in fact, tighten down.
Gotcha.
And so we don't want that to happen. That's why the policy is in place for the double lock.
Yeah, I think in my mind I was trying to say, okay, is this somehow related, sort of the restoration, you know, action that was given, was because I thought I read that the order required that the back of the palms need to be facing each other, but one hand actually wasn't. So I thought that was the issue, but... Okay.
Generally stating, we do want to have the back of the hands facing each other as the handcuff. Sometimes that's not possible, and that can be understandable. We are subject to the movements of another human being that has free will to move their hands as they want in those situations. So sometimes it can be very difficult to get them seated in the proper position. And then to make changes to that when they're in handcuffs puts the officer and the citizen in particular peril.
Thank you.
If you want to learn more about handcuffing, Tracy and I can both tell you. And if you go out and you're a role player out of the Basic Academy and they first practice their first week, you will be bruised. I'm telling you now.
They don't have fur on
them?
Because
they will slap the wrong side of the cuff on
you. Were you not there the time that we were handcuffed?
Okay. I'll encourage you.
I missed that. Okay. Yeah. Good to know. Yes.
But it's a fun experience. It doesn't feel good. Hurt that badly, but they learn.
Heather was quick on the draw with the handcuffs.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. Oh, well, this is fascinating. Okay.
Any other comments?
Nope.
Can I get a motion to approve case number 220019, please?
220019. So moved.
Thank you, Anna. Thank you, Tracy.
Jaime Tadeo. Annabelle Nunez.
Yay.
Kate Calhoun.
Hi.
Tracy Hockey.
Hi.
And Martha Lynn.
Yay.
I need a drink. We want a date.
Yay, 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 yay. Okay, so item number 6, Tucson Police Department. Do I read this in accordance?
Yes.
Okay, so in accordance with the provisions of state open public meeting law, these are items that are listed on the agenda in order to allow TPD to present a brief summary of current events pursuant to provisions ARS section 38-413.02, the board may not propose, discuss, or deliberate or take action at this meeting on any matter of the updates unless specific matter is properly noticed for legal action in subsequent meeting.
Madam Chair, just a correction. It's ARS section 38-431.
What did I say?
413. Just
okay.
For the record.
It's dyslexia, too. So.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you. No, thank you. Thank you for the collection. The correction. On the collection. Yes.
So I'm going to cover topics A and B on one. Assistant Chief Duffy fell ill and had to go home early today, so she apologizes for not being able to be here. She did not have any updates for me to give in regard to the department itself. And I probably shouldn't do this because it's going to set a bad precedent, but I ran the stats that you asked for. So I will provide it now this month rather than next month. So this is the number of external complaints that we received for the year. I went back through 2017. So in 2017, we received 495 external complaints.
Fiscal year or calendar?
Calendar year. In 2018, we received 516 external complaints. In 2019, we received 567 external complaints. In 2020, we received 403 external complaints. In 2021, we received 365 external complaints. And in 2022, we received 301 external complaints. And so far in 2023, we've received 56 external complaints. So it looks like the numbers were trending up through 2019 and then started trending down after that. So obviously I can't provide any specific reason for that. I would like to think that it is the level of training, because over those years the department was ramping up the level of training that we're providing to officers in things such as de-escalation, use of force, providing other tools and trainings to officers, the ABLE training, different things like that. And so that has helped the officers to have those tools in the field to deal with situations like you reviewed for this month, and provide them better opportunities to deal with them before it rises to the level of something that might generate a complaint with us.
Wow, that's neat.
Yeah. Maybe COVID kind of little.
So you can't think of this like a business, even though TPD is kind of a business. Mm-hmm. Is there like a goal that the chief says or any of the leadership says, you know what, let's work on getting no more than 200 a year or whatever?
So goals like that are very, there's a lot of thought that has to go into something like that. Mm-hmm. For example, and there's some case law actually around this. If we were to say, let's get our level of complaints to below 200, then that could lead members of the office to not accept complaints that they would otherwise accept, to try to keep those numbers down. It's the same for quotas or for homicide clearance rates. There's a specific case law about this where an agency said, we're going to get our homicide clearance rates to 90%, and then, or we're going to get drug arrests up, and we're going to arrest drug arrests up to this percent. Well, then you start having issues of maybe the Fourth Amendment gets ignored a little bit to get this arrest, or maybe we didn't really have probable cause. So we try to avoid setting goals like that because we don't want to have the goal affect something negatively when we don't accept a complaint that we would otherwise accept, just to keep the stats down.
Makes sense.
But I mean, obviously it's always a goal to prevent things from becoming complaints by having the proper actions take place in the field.
An argument made that higher numbers may even be better. I trust the department to investigate it enough that I'm going to make my complaint, as opposed to they're not going to do anything anyway, they're just going to cover for themselves. The community loses that trust and then doesn't make a complaint because they figure it's going to go in the circular top or circular file. So there can be an argument there as well.
If I'm permitted to
express,
I'd also go to, Lieutenant Cornet provided a list of numbers, and I'm just like you folks. I hear 567 in 2019, and I go, holy moly, that's a lot of allegations of misconduct against our police department. But Lieutenant Cornet, I trust that he has this information. It's just a little buried down, and it might take him 17 minutes as opposed to 15 to get there, is the number of sustained complaints. So to me, that's an important differentiation, is how many of those came that were actually substantiated as real misconduct on the part of the Tucson Police Department. Because just tonight, you guys have listened to three cases against, well, one case had like 15 officers on it. My case had a total of five personnel on it. And one allegation about a minor policy violation was discovered in all of what you've reviewed. And so I would just go to say that, you know, that speaks to the professionalism of our department. I know I'm very biased in this situation, but I wear the patch. I'm very proud of what we do as an organization. I do find that we're one of the finest police departments in the country. And when Lieutenant Cornea comes back to you next meeting with the substantiated rates, I think that you'll be pretty impressed by that as well.
You talked for 2 more minutes.
Yeah, I tease him a little bit. He's what he does.
So if the board would like, I can provide sustain versus, you know.
Please, I think it would be good for the
board. What got classified as an EC2 or an EC3 and a contact in that? For those same years.
Sure.
Okay. I would like that. Just
okay.
That'd be interesting to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I'm sitting there and I'm watching that amount of personnel on a case, of course I'm, you know, as an administrator in my institution, I'm like, oh, all that money, you know? Mm-hmm. But it's an investment, right? Because if there's a way of sort of messaging to the community, and maybe that's the role that we as CPAR members have, that's what we would do. We would say we have these cases, we've seen this as evidence, and, you know, yes, complain, but be careful about what the complaint is, because we don't want a money dump.
Mm-hmm. Terrific. Well, thank you for that report.
Oh, I do have a question.
Yes.
For I think I heard some news, but I may be mixing some of my information in terms of money coming in for fentanyl sort of mitigation and all that kind of stuff. Is the who's getting it? I'm sorry, I don't have a whole lot of details. I just heard a little bit. And also the congressman, I think, has a committee that he's a part of from District 5. But
I don't have an answer for that question off the top of my head. But what I can do is Captain Puglia, who you all know well, is now the captain in charge of our Counter-Narcotics Alliance. So I can reach out to him, try to get an answer for that. I know that there's different grants that the department has been applying for to try to combat that, and not just from the department on the arrest side, but grants for other community partners to provide services.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot that we're doing with providing services and Narcan and deploying Narcan out in the field to also try to help with that. So I will try to get an answer for you. Was it any specific?
I just heard 13 million, and then I don't remember who was the agency that was getting the money, and then they interviewed an individual who had substance use and abuse and had come through it, but then fentanyl came into his life, and I think he was talking about how necessary it was, but I didn't know who was the receiver of that.
Okay.
13 mil, so.
I'll try to find out and have that.
Yeah.
For you next
and it
month.
Came from the state?
I did, you know, was had the
okay.
TV on at 6:30 this morning, and
oh, so it was
I
today.
Was doing Wordle at the same, who knows? Yeah, but I just heard it, but I thought, is TPD involved? Which I got it into today, just so you.
Congratulations.
Cool. Okay. So item number 7, Office of the Independent Police Auditor.
Ms. Quickly, you're going to talk to Captain Quigley, right?
Yes.
Xylene? How do you say that? The new drug that's out there, the Narcan does have effect on. It's cheaper, better, high.
The zombie thing?
Yeah.
That's like just eating up the skin?
Yeah.
Oh.
So XYL?
Yeah.
M-M-E.
I just
heard
about that.
Getting an awful lot of press right now.
Yeah.
That's supposed to be the new fentanyl. Mm. And it's even scarier.
I think they're lacing it in fentanyl, from what I read.
Yeah. But they're shooting it up, and
yeah,
right? And so it's just necrotizing the skin.
But they say the Narcan doesn't work for it.
Yeah, that's what they say.
The Narcan doesn't work for it.
So I just didn't know if the
food is in the... It's kind of reminiscent of that, what was happening in Florida with the... Was it Flocka? Sorry. I used to track on this stuff because I use that as an example for my literature searching for public health.
All right, so what else do I have? Just to encourage you, if you have not in a while, you might want to consider the ordinance authorizing CPARC suggested, recommended. And if you haven't in a while, you might want to, again, is do a 4-hour ride along. And to do that, you should contact just any substations.
Yeah, I think that the substation closest to your home would probably be your best bet. You can walk in or use the public-facing telephone number. And the divisional administrative sergeant will be happy to organize for you. You can tell them that you're with the CPARC board, or you can keep it a secret. It doesn't matter to us. But we'd love to have you out. I prefer the nighttime shifts. I think that about a 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. type thing would give you a nice little balance. If you want to have a little fun, stick out after midnight, do a full 10-hour shift and go 5 p.m. till 3 a.m. You'll see quite the experience of what Tucson has to offer after dark. So
wow. I've done that one.
If you haven't already, you should.
It wasn't all that exciting, unfortunately, that day, but yeah.
We call that the curse of the ride-along. Whenever there's a ride-along, nothing happens.
It's going to the doctor because it's been hurting for so long, and it just stopped.
Right. Okay. That sound in my car, mechanic, is gone.
Exactly. Just keep driving until the check engine light turns off.
Yep.
Since we met last, within a very short period of time, in relatively the same location, there were two police officer involved shootings. I'm sure you've heard about those. Those are currently being investigated now at OPS. And I have been sitting through a lot of the interviews, and I know they're aggressively being interviewed and investigated. So, both very, very close to each other as far as location, and really within 10 days, actually. Very short. What else? Continue to do case reviews, work closely with the officers. That's about all I have here.
Can you remind me of the dates of the Chicago training?
Yes.
November? Maple?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it's
in Chicago.
It's in Chicago.
You thinking of going, Tracy?
I'm thinking about it.
It's odd because they
have a friend who has a nice, cozy couch.
A lot of people are heading to Chicago in November. They had the one in Tucson in July, so it's.
Yeah.
Somebody needs to figure this out.
Cheap hotels.
That's
right? The
okay. Yeah,
it's
the
season. Hotels.
Yeah.
It's xylazine that you're looking at.
What's that?
Xylazine. They're mixing it out. They're mixing it with that.
Yeah, there you go.
Xylazine.
Oh, it's been mixed.
Xylazine.
Yeah.
I've been to Chicago in November, and it's been pretty not that bad.
About a mile.
It's after the new year. Of course, now with weird weather.
I think we can all hope that the Cubs will be in the World Series in November in Chicago. Then, Lieutenant Archibald, will be at November 12th. And I'll see you there.
Huh? Yeah.
It's November 12th through 16th. If anybody's really interested and serious, we can try to talk to the city manager's office about possibly providing some money. No promises, of course, but it's worth asking. So let me know. If anybody has family in Chicago, it's a great way to visit on the cheap. No, this is recorded, isn't it?
Okay, terrific. So item number 8, future agenda items. I've actually written down a few.
What? Thank you.
I have a suggestion as well. I would like for someone to come in from the police department and address the homeless issue and citizens' rights as far as that goes. I've had some instances myself, and I just like to know where the law is, what the law is, because I'm feeling like they have more rights than I do as a taxpaying citizen. these days, and so I would really like to get questions answered or for somebody to come in and address how that's working.
Funny you should bring that up. Mm-hmm. Apparently today at Mayor and Council, I think there was a presentation about homelessness mm-hmm. in the community. So I would that was on my list to see if...
Perfect.
They're doing a lot of presentations about homelessness, and it's not being sponsored, at least, or headed up by the police department. It's being headed up, and they talk about the homeless protocol, and they have different triage levels. So if you're specifically looking for a police response, that's... to choose who presents. Brady, what do you
know? I'll reach out to those and see if it'll be Lieutenant Brady or Sergeant Jolsing.
We've had a presentation relatively recently, but I think things are really different now. So,
I mean, when we had our last brush and bulky, which I think was October, it's usually April and October, I think, in October. They came and lit up on fire everybody's stuff, like four houses down the street, you know. So here we are at one house, like, move your car, you know, but they still didn't even make them leave. And I don't know if it's because you don't know if he started the fire. Well, for the neighbors, we don't care. Make them all move. You know, so I just want to know what citizens' rights are as far as the homeless camps and things are.
So I think that there's a few different presentations that we're asking for. One of them is what is the law. So if we address what Tracy's looking for as far as the law for citizen related to homelessness. The other one would be kind of a recap of what was presented at Mayor and Council. And I can tell you, I was working, and we had a Rotary meeting, and there was an organizing coalition that was talking about homelessness and how they were kind of taking the leadership on handling it above and beyond what TPD was doing, which I wasn't really fond of that presentation.
Yeah, there are a lot of different approaches, and I go to all the DAC meetings and neighborhood association meetings regularly, and I'm starting to see the pendulum swing, whereas before people were much more of a social group approach and supportive when it was first presented. And now I'm seeing a lot of people, as Tracy just pointed out, saying there's some issues here that really need traditional law enforcement, and I'm not seeing it.
It costs us money. I own a lot next to the house, which is empty. And, you know, it took them over 2 weeks. They have to send a council agency out to speak to them and everything. But all the junk that they leave, it's our responsibility to have it removed from the property. You know, and it's like, where is that right or even fair? I pay my taxes. I shouldn't have to pay for someone who illegally sets on a property to move, you know. So that's why I want to know.
So, Lieutenant, if we can address
what the rights of the citizens are.
So this is going to be on the agenda for next meeting.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying a future.
It's a suggestion, and I guess that we would probably get together with you to see if we have somebody that can come to our meeting in April to do that presentation.
Okay. So I think we should be able to. Make sure that, you know, that somebody's available. I'll let you know if, for some reason, the two or three people that are the experts in that agency wouldn't be able to make it. But just to make sure, specifically, what is the law as far as what the police are able to do and what citizens are able to do, and the recap of the presentation that was given to Mayor and Council by the police department recently on homelessness?
Perfect. Yeah.
Okay.
Who did the presentation to?
I don't know.
Oh,
I just.
I wasn't able to watch it today, but I had a conversation with.
Usually,
Chief Catalano.
It's under the unsheltered.
Okay.
Because there's a web page, right, where you can actually report sort of encampments.
You can.
One of the things.
But they'll send you an email telling you that they received your complaint or whatever, but you don't hear from them anymore. And what I find myself doing is, you know, our neighborhood works very well with our council member's office, and so I send it there. And of course, when you send it there, you get action. But I don't think that that's fair. I shouldn't have to bother them every single time because it's a lot. You know, so you don't want to feel like, here I am again, here I am again, here I'm again. But when you go through what they tell you to do, they don't do anything.
Great, so we've got those two. Couple other things that I had on my future items. I would like to hear more of the ABLE program. So I think maybe we can do that in potentially May. And
I
then
can, what I can do is maybe do another quick recap and then give you like what we're going to be doing for this year's WAT. Would that be?
Yeah, that would be terrific.
Okay.
And what program is that?
Is it ABLE?
ABLE? Active Bystander for Law Enforcement.
So it's all camp.
Okay. Thank you.
And then I know in one of our cases, 220019, you all had a wrap. That I've not seen that, and I don't think that was reviewed during when we were at Celetsi. The whole kit and caboodle with the wrap.
It came out during one of our defensive in-person training scenarios.
That's actually another AOT block. So for this year's AOT, we're doing driving, wrap, and
what's AOT block?
Advanced officer training.
So okay, yeah. Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
So for this year's advanced officer training, I've been telling you, we're doing driving.
Yep.
We're doing DT, which is going to be a wrap refresher, and then an ABLE refresher.
Okay.
So that will be available as early as like June or July.
Okay. Yeah, I'd like to see the wrap in person. I think it would be good for us to touch it, feel it, like look at it. So good show and tell. Yay! Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When would you like that? Would you like that also in May? I don't know.
No.
Is that something that can be done at the same time? Or is there not enough time for that? Or would that be in June?
I think we'd probably need at least, like, I think two separate sessions. I think, yeah.
Okay.
I'll deal with it.
Yeah. Do you have a preference on ABLE and RAP?
No, I would ask that you all present it based upon your schedule and what's happening. Please.
You're going to want to tell them what month you want to have it so they can calendar and tell their instructors. So for the next month.
Oh, you want me to tell you?
If you don't prefer, I'll reach out to, because it would be somebody from the AOT, the Advanced Officer Training Unit, that would come demonstrate the wrap. So I'll reach out to him and see if May or June works better for him, because I imagine you plan on being at both of those meetings, right? And then if one of them works better, then we'll schedule it for that month and then ABLE for the opposite
and
month.
And you can notify me?
And I can notify him.
And then
yes,
we can notify him.
And then if both months work for both presentations, do you have a preference on which one you would want first? Just so I can get it on
the wrap.
The wrap first?
Please. Oh. WRAP?
All caps also.
Okay.
Stands for solid.
And then I just had a quick question, Martha. I know yesterday you asked about the marijuana and public.
Oh, uh-huh.
Was your question answered?
It seems to have been answered.
Okay.
Pretty sure, yeah.
I have a suggestion, yeah. And I don't know if there's enough material to have like a presentation, but I'm curious to know and learn a bit more about sort of a citizen's right or the police is right in terms of the recording, when the citizen is recording an incident. So like on the case that we had where that was a big piece of it where he was trying to record and, you know, there was sort of the going back and forth. So I'd be curious to have a presentation on, you know, what is allowed, what isn't allowed.
We've had that
state
before.
Come up
and,
with something.
And probably if you were to do it again, the last time it was presented by somebody from the city attorney's office. And that was a good way to have that explained to you.
In a while, yeah.
If you want a full presentation, we can try to work that out. Or if you want me to just give you a brief answer right now, I'd like to.
Can you?
Didn't the law change
not
recently?
Not right now. It has to be on the agenda.
Yeah.
Sorry, you threw me off.
Yeah, something in the summer.
Okay.
No rush, but
August.
Another suggestion for training. I went to Operation Division Midtown for adapt duty, and they had a 45-minute training as a public safety communication division overview. So it's an overview of the 911 system, what it used to be, what it's like today, what the different positions are, how they get calls generated, how they get people out. It really was an excellent presentation, and the timing would fit perfectly. But they would be willing to come out whenever you ask them to, so I can certainly facilitate that if
cool.
I'm interested.
September.
I think we have something
all year.
Look at you, Chair.
Look at you. You're on fire.
I am.
Chair. Dang.
What are they doing?
Yes.
Did you catch that?
Okay. Sweet.
All right. If there is not anything else. Yes, sir.
One last thing, sir. As a suggestion, TPD's, because of a complaint, the technical part is took it very seriously in getting the case materials very quickly. I've been told that your case materials for not next month, but the following month will be out tomorrow.
Oh,
they're taking it very seriously. But what I'm going to encourage you to do is please, they're going to get it out that early. At least open it when you get it and make sure you can get in. And if you want to wait till the end, which is what almost everybody has historically done anyway, which is fine, frankly. But if you find that you can't get in and it's late, TPD can't answer that for you. So they're getting what they can out to you early, so make sure you can open it and then review it later. Would be my suggestion.
Yeah, I think on this situation, there was some files kind of coming in, right? And so there was a bit of confusion with multiple emails coming out with only one access entry, and it just kind of got wonky. And I mean, I happened to be able to find that one case because it did come through email. So I think you requested kind of get it all in one shot, right?
Yeah, Linda's new, I believe, and so she sent them all out on separate cases. I asked her if she can condense it to one email.
Mm-hmm. So that wasn't my issue. So ever since I started working for the city, I have most of the stuff starting to come to my city email. But I work for Parks and Rec, and I only work in the evening, and I'm usually busy with kids and programs and stuff, so I can't look at them. And it locked my personal email out.
Oh.
So I couldn't even, it said at my email wasn't able to, something that doesn't have access to the secured link or something like that. And I need everything to go to that personal email because then I can look at it at home or other places that I have downtime. And my day job doesn't mind when I have downtime that I can look at it. But I can't sign on to my city email at my day job.
Got it. Did it?
Yeah.
I think we should
since they got hacked. I don't think they want you signing on nowhere except for from your city computer.
It's been difficult.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I just needed to come to the AOL.
Okay.
That's the one I need.
Okay.
I told her about that.
She sent me a second one. She resent it.
I guess the most thing would be, you know, OPS is now distributed some more of CPAR's work instead of just all one person was overwhelming. To now Linda, as you mentioned, and the backup is of Gina. So there's still more as necessary, and they're making every effort they can to try to accommodate you. So from the law enforcement side, they really do the work with CPAR as best they can administer.
Thank you. So it is 6:44. I think the meeting is not adjourned yet. The meeting is adjourned.
Perfect.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Do we still want to get together? Or?
Yeah, that was great.
Let's do it. Let's put it on the book.